Hey, and welcome to Kiss the Crest, a weekly podcast where we talk about football news, football scores,
Leicester League trophies,
Leicester
baby.
Leicester City!
The Flying Foxes!
I added the flying part, I don't know. So, as usual, I am your host, Sean Thomas.
I'm Dave Linata.
I'm Rob Steller.
So we're back. It's been a while, but we're ready to talk about some football. Some stuff has happened. A couple things have happened. So we're going to, as usual, we're going to go over the scores that have happened. Now, at this point, a number of leagues have already been decided. In particular, France, Italy, of course, England has been decided.
We were wrong about what was the most competitive league.
So the two that were never in doubt are the ones in doubt right now, yeah. Which is the German league. Bayern Munich is still hasn't clinched the title. And in La Liga, it's even closer. So those are the only two leagues that are still left open. Yeah. But all the other leagues, or the major leagues, I should say, have been wrapped up. So we're going to go over that. We won't spend too much time on the scores just because it's over. Then we're going to go into the European ties. So Champs League, the semifinals were played, and now we know who are going to be in the finals. And as of this recording, the semifinals of the Europa League have not been finished, but they will be pretty soon, and then we'll be going and seeing who the finalists are for that. So we'll go over all of that, and then we'll move into our topic of the day, which is, is Leicester's title win the biggest or greatest achievement in sports history?
Of mankind, Sean.
I don't think there's... You know what? The world was created. That might be...
On the seventh day.
Yeah, okay.
Leicester won. Whatever.
But, yeah, let's get right into it. Okay, we'll start off in Germany, where the title race is still on. So, Bayern Munich actually drew to Borussia Mönchengladbach. Yeah, I said it.
Wow, that was good.
And then Dortmund actually beat Wolfsburg 5-1. So, unfortunately, though, the way the title has been working out, Dortmund is still 5 points back. It's kind of irritating to see how many chances Dortmund had to close the gap. Mm. And we'll talk about it later, but, you know, Dortmund was knocked out of European play, so they had a chance to really focus on the league, yet they still couldn't pull it out. I mean, it's a difficult gap to narrow, but they did narrow it, and I mean they had chances to win this title.
They still have time, though.
They still, so they're only on their 32nd game. There's 38 games total, so 6 games, 5 points. It is very much possible.
2 losses.
We still really don't know what's going to happen, but looking at the table right now, Munich is on top with 82 points. Dortmund is in second place with 77 points, and then Leverkusen is in a distant third with 57 points. I mean, we really see the drop off. There's only 2 players in this game. Even especially as usual, the goal difference is crazy for Munich and Dortmund. It's 60 for Bayern Munich and 49 for Borussia Dortmund. So there's no chance of anyone else catching them, but Dortmund could still win this title. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. So let's move on to France.
France is all but decided. Marseille got a big win.
No, it is decided.
It is decided.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. Sorry, guys.
It's been decided.
PSG got a 4-0 win on Friday, and Marseille got a 1-0 win, but PSG's already won the title long time ago.
Well, they won
just
the title
a few shows ago.
But apparently they forgot to hand in their paperwork, so it actually got handed to Monaco.
Oh god.
Too bad.
Monaco's
stuff
actually
happens.
Third. So the fight
you
for
to
second
sign paper
actually
it says, "Oh, we've won the title."
How many points do you have? It's actually like golf. You write
yeah,
your own
you
score.
Miss it,
Leicester
you get
loses
points.
It. That'd be awesome. So the fight for second will be interesting. It's Lyon and Monaco, both tied at 62, second and third. So only 2 spots get guaranteed. Champs League, the third is a playoff. So with a couple games left, Lyon and Monaco to get that guaranteed spot would be huge. And then Lille is in sixth, 1 point out of Europe.
So I know I've said this every single time, but it just seems so crazy. So PSG's goal difference is 75, and Lyon's is 22, and they're in second place. They're actually in second place because they have a better goal difference than Monaco does. So it's just, man, the difference, the gulf in ability and talent is just ridiculous. But anyway, it's all over anyway.
Yeah, so we'll stop there.
All right, so let's move on to Italy, which is now finished. It's been decided. Juve has probably mounted one of the most incredible
there
comebacks.
There were some amazing stories this season.
I mean, they were down like bottom half of the table and were able to come back and now have, I think, a 12-point lead over Napoli with two games to go.
If I remember correctly, I think someone said after 10 games they had 11 points. That's how they started the season, which is absurd. I mean, it's out of obviously a possible 30 points. They had 11.
Yeah, and they pretty much haven't dropped points since then.
it's absurd.
So run through a couple of scores. Torino got a big 5-1 win over Udinese. Fiorentina slipped up against Chievo's fighting for the last Champions League spot. They're behind now. They're slipped out of the Champions League race. Juve got a 2-0 win over Carpi. Palermo 2-0 over Sampdoria. Lazio, big 2-0 win over Inter. Sassuolo 1-0 over Hellas Verona. Empoli, Bologna 0-0. Milan needed a last-minute PK to save a point against most likely relegated team, Frosinone.
It was a dive.
It was definitely a PK, but like I will say, so one of the things that's happened since we last talked is Mihailovic got fired and Brocchi has replaced him. I think he started against Carpi, which was 0-0, another bottom table team. So I mean, just listen. So the last three matches they had were Carpi, Verona, and Frosinone. Two, if not three, of those teams are getting relegated. They got 2 points from those games.
It's not bad.
It's ridiculous. It's absolutely abysmal. I have nothing good to say about this team right now. I don't even know. Anyway, Roma got a win against Genoa. El Shaarawy got a goal. Tati scored.
Good old Tati. He came on the bench, right?
I believe so. Yeah. So
he's not much of a starter. That was. I don't know why that was a surprise. But.
Good for him. Napoli also got a 2-1 win over Atalanta. Higuain getting both goals in that game, which puts his total for the year to 32.
That's absurd.
Dybala and Baka both are in second with 16. He has twice the goals. So he's having quite the year. So that leaves Juve already clinched the title, 12 points up, 88 points on the year so far with two games to go. Napoli is in second right now with 76. Roma 2 points behind in that Champions League playoff spot. Inter 10 points back from them with 64, and Fiorentina with 60 in the two Europa League spots. And Milan slipping up is big because since Juve is in the finals of the cup with Milan, basically that sixth place spot is going to get a Europa League position, assuming that Juve beats Milan, which, let's be honest, if we can't if we can't win against the bottom teams, it's not going to happen. So Milan needs to be in sixth place, and we are now 1 point behind Sassuolo. So that means Sassuolo right now, I think, is going to be going to Europa League, which is absolutely ridiculous.
One scary thing for next year, you start thinking about what's going to happen. I mean, so we already talked about Ligue 1, and let's be honest, PSG, Ibrahimovic is going to leave, and that'll be a big loss, but they're just going to buy
someone
else.
Somebody big.
They might get Ronaldo, who knows. Whoever they get, they're still, even without Ibrahimovic, they're clearly the dominant team. You look at Italy, and the scary thing is, Higuain is probably the biggest factor in Napoli doing as well. I mean, they have others, and I don't want to talk like I know that much about Napoli, but he was a huge factor. At this point, I mean, Napoli is a decent club, but they're not the top tier. And doing this well, I think somebody's going to buy Higuain. Take him away. Juventus has shown that they can, even if they lose players, they can keep some good players, like they kept Pogba, and Dybala is probably going to stay. You see a lot of good players that'll stay, and honestly, even if they lose it, they can probably find ways to replace it. I mean, they've already shown they did really well versus Bayern Munich. I mean, they lost in the second leg. So this question is Juventus like kind of primed for a sixth title? Because this is ridiculous.
They're on a 10-game win streak. And that, like, as far as not losing, it goes back way farther than that. Yeah. I mean, you know, they've only lost 4 and drew 4 the entire year, which is, considering their start, probably all 8 of those pretty much came
at the beginning,
which is insane. So, Credit to them for winning. Boring as hell from a non.
It's so weird too, because we talked all year how close it was because Juventus was out of it.
Yeah,
and then they decided to come back. It's almost weird. It's like you can just turn it on.
If you take Juve out, I mean, Napoli and Roma are 2 points away from each other. So yeah, exactly. It would have still been on. So
I mean, it's disappointing, but I mean, they deserve it. I mean, they probably are the best team in Italy.
Yeah,
I mean,
for sure.
they have a really good squad. So yeah. I don't know. We'll see. It's interesting for next year. So. Now we'll move on to La Liga. La Liga, the league that you guys pushed me to say was done. And so I agreed it was done. And I said it was done. So
also what we said about Germany.
Yeah, exactly. But this one is definitely a bigger deal. So I think the last time...
Excuse me, Sean.
No. I mean in terms of how close it is.
Yeah.
So I think the last time we had a show may have been after the Clásico, which we lost. And while it was sad to lose, it was disappointing, I felt like still no big deal. Since then, man, the wheels just totally came off, although it has been going up and down. So we ended up losing a bunch of games in a row, and we reduced the points gap to zero. We are now tied on points with Atletico Madrid, and I should mention Atletico Madrid and Real Madrid have been consistently winning. Mm-hmm. We tied them on points, and Real Madrid is still 1 point back. Now, we're still higher than them because of head-to-head records, which is good for us because we have a better head-to-head record versus Atleti and Real Madrid. So that bodes well for us. But right now, we cannot lose a single game. Luckily, the past 2 weeks, past 3 games, we've done really well. We had an 8-0 victory, a 6-0 victory, and then a 2-0. But it was so weird, and we'll talk about this maybe for a second in Champions League. We lost to Atletico Madrid in the final leg of the Champions League tie. And the weirdest thing was we had beaten Atletico Madrid every game we played, but arguably the most important game we lost to them. Yeah. And that's what knocked us out of Champs League. And it was just a string of defeats, which was so weird. We couldn't score anything. We were just impotent. I mean, we were losing to Valencia. I think, it was absurd. But either way, right now, the biggest title race is definitely in Spain because we're tied on points. And honestly, if we slip up and Atleti slip up, Real Madrid will take the spoil. So,
How many games are left?
So I think there are 2 games left. Yeah. So honestly, we should win the title. But I am not. After that string of defeats, I'm not saying anything.
Who do you have left, you know?
I think they're all bottom level, bottom tier teams. But then again, we said the same thing when we were on a losing streak. We shouldn't have lost to Valencia. We shouldn't have lost to Sociedad. It was really surprising.
Yeah, those are like at least middle of the table teams.
No, Sociedad. Decent. Valencia should be better.
Sociedad has always been decent. This year they haven't been, but.
So this weekend is the Barcelona derby. We're playing Espanyol, and then we have Granada after that. They both are bad teams, but. Like I said, you can't even draw.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. We're equal on points, so we cannot mess up. I mean, that's also assuming Real Madrid and Atletico don't mess up. But honestly, they've been doing really well, so I don't see them slipping up. And then we also have the Spanish Cup final. So I guess technically right now, the only things we could win are the La Liga title and the Spanish Cup.
The only thing we can do is a double.
Who's in the cup?
Sevilla.
Sevilla.
I know it sounds silly and it sounds like I'm being cocky, but it's weird considering right now I think we have such a ridiculous squad. I mean, it's clearly not a failure, but you feel like we would have gone further than we did.
I think you need a coach.
We got to switch it up. He actually signed
anything
up for
less than
year.
5 trophies is unacceptable.
But it sounds really weird. Like I genuinely believe, and it's not just because I'm a fan, I still think we have the best team in Europe, but Atleti beat us. Without a doubt, they definitely beat us. They won 2-0 in the second leg, so I'm not going to say that like it was unfair or something like that. The closest thing you could say is that there was a PK call that should have been called, but there was another PK that could have been called as well. Either way, all of that aside, it was a really weird past couple weeks for Barcelona, but we're still like the title is still in our hands, in our control, so we just have to win it out. So that'll do it for Spain.
Does Luis Enrique wear jeans a lot?
He does. I saw him
on one. I forgot what game it was, and he had like he looked like a scrub on the sideline. I was like, what the heck?
He's actually like mad, Jack. So if you when he because he's really big on fitness.
Don't make fun of his jeans.
Yeah, no, it's weird. They wear like jean suits, which I think are denim. No, they're not suits, but like you know, denim shirt and denim pants, which I think is really weird. But whatever. I don't know. Maybe it's cool.
Anywho, we'll go over to the Barclays Premier League.
we gotta make sure the advertisers get their name in
Barclays.
Here.
Couple scores before we get to the big news. Everton got a 2-1 win over Bournemouth, 2-1. Newcastle got another huge win over Crystal Palace, 1-0. I'll talk a little bit more about that in a minute. Stoke and Sunderland drew 1-1. These are all Saturday scores, by the way, April 30th. Watford got a 3-2 win over Villa, who is clearly done. West Ham got a 3-0 victory over West Brom. And Arsenal got a 1-0 win over Norwich. So that's Saturday's scores.
Does any of this matter?
No. We'll go over to Sunday. Swansea got a big 3-1 win over Liverpool on Sunday. And then the other two games, the Southampton came out and roasted Man City. They beat them pretty good. It was 4-2. Granted, City, Aguero didn't play. I think they were really resting up for this big Champions League game. They didn't even sub him on. They were losing, and they were just like, you know what, screw it. We're not going to try to win this, which is surprising because they haven't clinched a Champions League spot for next year.
No, if United wins their game in hand, then they're only 1 point behind.
Right, and that's why the Leicester game was kind of a
imagine if
too.
Pep goes to City and he's playing in Europa League. That'll be hilarious.
So, yeah, Southampton got 4 goals.
Pellegrini's just like, no, fuck you guys.
We're going down.
3 of which were scored by Mane, who's you know, he's a really good player.
Yeah.
He's really fast. He uses his speed. And then I guess we'll talk about the Man U Leicester game. So Man U got off to a 1-0 lead.
That's a one way to put it.
Anyway, the score ended 1-1.
Yeah, yeah.
Leicester got a draw. It was a fairly
was
even
big.
Game. It was an even game.
It's second two games without Jamie Vardy too.
Yeah,
which was significant, especially this game, which you didn't know if he was going to get banned for this game too, suspended rather for this game too. So it was big that they were able to get a point off of this game.
Yeah, and what's his name? Drinkwater got a red, which we'll go over it on Monday. But you didn't know that they were going to win the title already.
Right.
So if he missed
huge.
A game too, I mean,
Jamie Vardy getting his red card was a turning point. Like that could have easily changed everything.
Leicester actually lost the title.
Yeah.
They took it back.
Yeah, so, you know, good win, good draw for Leicester. That's what they've been doing all year, just getting points. And Man U drops 2 points, a chance to pick up 2 more on City. So that was huge and for United.
Now, to be clear, on the day this happened, yeah, like you said, the title was not won. It was still dependent on what Tottenham was going to do on Monday.
Granted, when you say that, I mean, it was still, I mean, there was a chance.
Yeah, exactly.
But honestly, I think, like, Leicester could have, like, won, could have lost 2 games, like, the last 2.
I think so.
I honestly think, like, Spurs had to win out, and Leicester, like, only had to draw 1 game. And
It's part of this story that people had this fear. I mean, we'll get into it, but like the points difference was actually really significant. Like Leicester didn't just win this. I wouldn't say ran away with it, but they have a significant lead. Like this isn't a couple points.
So yeah, we'll go to the game on Monday then. It was a great game, Chelsea-Tottenham game. So basically, all Chelsea had to do was to keep Tottenham to a draw.
And before the game, a couple of players came out and were saying, Hazard was one of them who said, like, we don't want, I mean, obviously they don't, being crosstown rivals, they don't want Tottenham to win, like have a chance.
Right.
But Hazard came out and was like, no, I don't want them to win. And I'm going to prevent them from winning.
Yeah, so, I mean, honestly, if Tottenham didn't get a win, it was going to be a Leicester City. And I honestly thought it was going to end like this. I didn't see Tottenham getting more than or less than a draw.
But admittedly, they started out 2-0 like that. They shouldn't have dropped
that
lead. They
were 2-0 at halftime.
And there were, how many, 12 yellow cards between both the teams?
Yeah, yeah, a lot of those came at the end.
Okay, it got pretty chippy. True, true. But the point is, Tottenham, there's also a question of, I mean, Tottenham had the chance. And it's the sad thing about this story is, I think, you know, a lot of us are on Leicester's side, but if there's any other team you'd kind of want to be the underdog to win, it'd be Tottenham. They've always been pretty good. And they had, you know, the Harry Kane story, and he's still back. Dele Alli coming out of nowhere. And, like, they still have a really good squad. So it's a little disappointing. But, hey, I mean, you have to win these kind of games if you want to win the title.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah, so, I mean, going to the table after
Can I just say, like, Hazard's goal was
ridiculous.
Insane.
It was a nice goal.
It was gorgeous. Nice, and his goal was the one that won it for Chelsea last year, too. Yeah. So he decided the title 2 years in
I know, in a weird way. So, I mean, yeah, maybe now he'll get sold to a better team.
So it's a 7-point gap right now. Yeah. So, I mean,
it's over.
Yeah, it's over. But even if Tottenham did win this game, it would still be a 5-point gap.
Yeah, they'd have
It would have to be.
Leicester would have needed 2 points from the last two games, though.
Yeah.
So that means if they drew against Everton and their last game is one of the big clubs.
I think it's a big
Chelsea. Yeah, Chelsea, I think it's against Chelsea.
Yeah, so like, you know what? It'll be interesting to see if Everton beats Leicester and like Chelsea.
Nobody
wins.
Cares for now.
No, no, but what if like they end up winning by like 2 points? You'd be like, oh my god!
But that's the thing.
That,
like,
one draw against Man U, yeah, like
if Man U had won, I think it was very possible that that Leicester might not have won the title.
Yeah,
I don't know. We've said this. I think it's always there's that like fear in the back of your head that Leicester's gonna fall at some point. That was the whole thing. Yeah. The whole year was riding on them, and you just think at some point the wheels are going to fall off. And they've just been consistent in getting points. So honestly, yeah, if they had lost to Man U, they probably would have won the next two games. Because honestly, they're a better team than Everton, and they're a better team than Chelsea. So, who knows? You know what would be more interesting? I mean, there are things at this point. Leicester is not the rival of anybody per se. You know, there's nobody who's like against them winning the title. Who knows? If they played Chelsea on the final day, maybe they'd be like, we're not
Chelsea
gonna win
just
anything.
Lets him score.
But you could totally throw a game. It would be very,
the
very
whole season was
very uncomfortable.
Stop.
The whole season was thrown.
That's ridiculous.
Anyway, I think it doesn't matter because Leicester won. But yeah, 7 points. That's not an insignificant number.
No.
Like right now, Munich might only win the Bundesliga by 5.
Right.
So it's insane what they've done, and we'll get into how historic this is. But I also find it interesting. I mean, I assume this is the only sport where you can win the most important title in your country not playing. They won it on Monday, the day two other teams played. It's funny because I wonder how you explain it to like people who don't follow football.
It's funny too because Ranieri was not watching the match.
Yeah, like wasn't
he
on a plane?
He went
something?
To visit his mom and had lunch with her and then flew back. So he was on a plane. But anyway, so they had a lot of reaction videos. The whole team was at Jamie Vardy's house, which is funny. So I was telling Sean this, like, all the news stuff, like, in the top corner was just, like, Jamie Vardy's house. But the whole team had gathered there, and, you know, like, they had a bunch of videos showing when the final whistle was blown and them celebrating and stuff like that. And it's funny because we had another friend who's not a football fan here, and I was explaining to him, like, if I saw a picture of this team as they are now in the beginning of the year, I couldn't name one player on this team.
All.
And now I could name literally every single player on their bench.
And it'll be interesting what happens next year. So some reports have said that this is worth 150 million, I assume, pounds to them.
Yeah.
So clearly they're getting more money. They're already owned by a multi-billionaire. Yep. So they have money.
Right.
So they can keep some players.
And
I
now
do
they
think
have Champs League.
Yeah, they're in freaking Champions League.
Awful.
So yeah, we've talked about this.
England screwed.
It's going to be
as much as this is going to like good for Leicester. It's going to screw England over completely.
But you know what? Honestly,
Italy somehow was involved.
How many teams would you genuinely say?
Ranieri was paid.
Ranieri was involved. I swear.
So like genuinely though, teams below them. You really think like if say that all the teams, top five teams, were in Champions League right now? I mean, obviously there's going to be big spending.
You say that, but
how many
look
of them
at
would
look,
be good?
This
when
season,
Chelsea
yeah,
won the Champions
but,
League.
I mean, next year is going to be a completely different scenario.
Okay, so two things. So yes, there. Don't get me wrong. Some teams win unusually. I agree. But in terms of when I think of who the best team is, I really think Leicester. Yes, they were dealt.
So the question is, can they keep their players? So I read an interesting article that was actually talking about how a lot of players might not want to leave because A, they have all the momentum with this team now. Clearly, they play well as a unit, and also they love playing for Ranieri. Clearly,
yeah.
And the other big thing is like none of these players probably expected to play in Champs League during their career. I mean, Jamie Vardy was in non-league football 3 years ago, right? So
I think one of the two are going to leave. I mean, if someone offers you like,
but now they have
100 times as much money you're making, one of them's going to go.
But they can also
say like Barcelona comes and offers Vardy, like, you know.
Well,
but that's the other thing. You look at like Huth and Morgan are both 32 and 33.
Yeah,
right?
that's their defensive pairing.
Vardy's 29, so he's like,
who's going to spend the money?
Mahrez is the only one.
The thing is, you got Huth and Morgan. Conte. How much do they really have left? Like this year, they probably played the best they could ever play. And do you honestly think they do? Like this is what
everyone
I'm afraid of.
This team played the best season.
This is what I'm
played.
Afraid of. This is the obviously their best season ever, right?
Yeah.
Huth and Morgan.
Well, except back in 1916 when they won.
Okay,
the
so they, no, they got
the players
league,
on this
right?
team. Yeah.
Let's say they go back to how they were last year and they literally get smoked in the fucking first round. Sorry for the language. They get smoked in the first round. Like, and they just go back to the last like their ways
last year.
Then they
leave in January.
Like, that's just bad for England. Like, that's just awful. Nah.
You can't why do you think they're going to do so much worse than
Morgan
other
and
English
Huth?
Teams have?
Okay,
they've
all
done
year
poorly,
long we've been saying,
City,
oh, are they going to keep it up?
No.
Oh, they're going to keep it up. Oh, Morgan and Huth are in their mid-30s.
Yeah.
I mean, if Ferdinand, Vidic, and like all these other guys, Steven Gerrard, and like all these other pros can't make it.
Ibrahimovic is 34?
At least.
It's pretty ridiculous.
Anyway, he's a striker, but...
But my point is, they're
not going to get better. They're going to get worse, in my opinion.
I don't know.
Huth and Morgan? Pirlo, he's like a fine wine.
Oh, God. We're talking about Huth and Morgan, all right?
I just compared Huth and Morgan to Ibra. Pirlo.
Come on.
No, but the point is,
if
like,
they lose Vardy or Mar, the thing would, I think is going to be more interesting is who they buy. If they buy anybody, who they buy, what their buys are going to be like, because they're clearly going to have money. So in order to keep this up, they're going to have to make a few really, really good purchases, and I don't know if they're
Let's save this for the discussion. We'll save this.
Okay.
All right, so back to the table. So a couple of big battles, actually, still, believe it or not. So the Champions League playoff spot is still in huge jeopardy. So City has 64 points, but they've played a game more than United and West Ham. So if Man U wins their game in hand, they'd be 1 point behind the City.
Yeah.
All right? West Ham is 1 point behind Man U. So there's a three-team race for either Europe, Champs League, or Europa, right? And if Man U doesn't get in there, you have to figure what LVG is going to be gone. I honestly think he should be gone anyways.
I think it's all dependent on who they can get.
If he stays, if they take over for City in Champs League, though... I mean, they've been playing much better.
But if they
can
get
half.
A better coach, like I kind of think they are looking at Mourinho. I mean, it's so if they can get
anyway. So
better.
That's a battle to look at there, and then the relegation battle. So there's three teams right now that are in battle for two spots, basically, one of the two spots. Newcastle, who was in the 19th spot, so they were second to last, right now is ahead, but they have one more game. So Newcastle's at 33 points. They've played 36 games. Sunderland is at 32 points, but they've only played 35. And then Norwich has played 35, and they're at 31 points.
Yeah.
So 31, 32, 33. Honestly, Newcastle has been getting a lot of good results lately. So I think Norwich is going to go down, and... I want to say Sunderland over Newcastle. Any thoughts, or do you guys not care?
I think Aston Villa is going to stay up.
Do you guys just don't care?
Honestly,
I actually don't know who their last two matches are.
I'm not familiar with who.
But
I
would pick Newcastle to stay up at this point.
It's a little disappointing.
I think they have a better side, and it's kind of ridiculous. They're in this place again.
Exactly. It's a little disappointing for Newcastle. Even Sunderland picked up a few good guys, and it's. It is weird to see them in this position. I mean, particularly Newcastle, especially, they've always had a good following. So
it's Leicester's fault, man. If Leicester wasn't in the top,
yeah,
they'd
be
down by the bottom.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, Norwich has United this weekend.
Oh, God.
And Aston Villa and Newcastle play.
Yeah, so, you know.
That'll be
a win. Interesting.
Aston Villa is so bad at this point, it's like... Who cares?
No one
talks. It's a loss.
They have 16 points all year.
16
points. chance.
Oh my gosh, God. That's so bad.
They have 3 wins out of 36 games. That's worse than like our league. Like that's
okay. You can't really compare. 3 out of 36.
That's bad. Now like, here's the thing, beyond bad.
Sunderland probably has the hardest stretch. They have Chelsea, Everton, and then Watford.
Yeah.
All of those are difficult games.
Just that's for the heck of it, if you can't quick, look at the other league, like Spain. What does the last place team have in Spain? And what does the last place team have in
Italy? I don't actually know. Yeah,
it's going to take a minute.
And it's unusual how bad
negative 45 goal differential.
Levante has 29 points in the Spanish league.
That's double.
That's double.
Hellas Verona has 25.
So they got to be the worst team like ever.
Yeah. Okay, we have two. We have all these records breaking. We have Leicester winning. Hanover in Germany has 22 points. So they're still ahead.
That's still a few wins above.
No, I mean Aston Villa is just absolutely.
Hey, they got
horrible.
A couple games left. They can get up. they might be able to get to 20.
And actually, so it'll be interesting because Newcastle. This is after they switched to having what's his name, the Spanish coach,
Benitez.
Yeah, Rafa Benitez. So, I think they could stay up, but I think it's crapshoot. I don't think Sunderland's going to make it through with 9 points. I mean, Chelsea, Everton, and Watford, that's not easy. Anyway. I guess Newcastle staying up? I don't know.
Yeah, so that'll do it.
All right, so let's go through Europe pretty quickly here. So we had Bayern Munich and Atletico Madrid. Atletico was leading going into the second leg, 1-0, with a home goal in the first leg. Bayern managed to score twice, but Atletico got the all-important away goal.
And looking at what happened, it was a crazy game.
Bayern scored first. Xabi Alonso scored in the 31st.
Atletico, and it was deflected.
Yeah.
Like off a Atleti player.
Atletico Madrid scored on the other side of halftime through
Griezmann. But wait, we should mention, after that, there was a PK, and Müller missed it. Well, he didn't. It was saved, whatever, but it was a really bad PK. That could have been 2 goals, and that would have been huge. 2-0.
So Atletico got one back, so they were leading 2-1. Bayern managed to get...
And by the way, so once it gets 2-1, you have 1 away goal, meaning Munich has to score three.
Yeah.
They have to score 3 in total.
Total.
Which is... That's huge. That's really difficult.
Manage to get one in the 74th through Lewandowski. Couldn't find the third goal.
And there was another PK. Fernando Torres got a PK, but then he shot it and it was saved. Same, it was a terrible shot as well. So there were 2 PKs that were missed in this game.
Yeah.
Although, granted, if they were both scored, it would have been different. But if Müller had scored that first PK, they would have been going through. And if Torres had scored that second PK, it would have been... done even earlier. But I mean, it's crazy. Atletico Madrid does the same thing every time. Ridiculous defense, incredibly compact, and they're really well positioned, and they know to get back. They don't actually pressure the ball. They're okay with the other team having the ball, which is what Munich did.
Yep.
Munich had way more chances, but they know how to stay in place. They know how to head balls out and just clear it. And the keeper did really well as well. I mean, even saving a PK, you still got to choose the right side. And then they get the counter. The Griezmann goal was really good. It was a 1-2. They were in their own half, like right outside the box. I forgot who passed it out to Griezmann. Griezmann like headed it down to Torres. Torres makes a really nice pass out to Griezmann, and he finishes it. Like in a couple seconds, there's no buildup. It goes right into it. And this is what they've been doing every time. They just beat probably or arguably the 2 best offensive teams in a row, Bayern Munich and Barcelona. And they did it the same way, keep it low scoring, and they just play defensively. It's actually funny because you hear everybody talking about how they're the worst team to watch because they tackle a lot. You see that they're playing a bit of a dirty game. Like there's tackles where they're not card worthy, but you can tell they're pushing on purpose and they play dirty. But it's really funny because you hear some commentators talk about how much they hate him, and then the same people who complain about how, well, either on one end Premier League is like the most athletic and every other team is weak, but even more like, now you get cards for everything, and back in the day, you could really tackle.
Right.
That's what this team is. They're a hard-tackling team. They play ridiculous defense, which nobody does anymore. Everybody, I mean, you think about the 4 semifinalists. Well, okay, take out Atletico Madrid. Munich is an attacking team. Manchester City is an attacking team. Real Madrid is an attacking team. Nobody plays like them, and I mean, we'll get into this with the Leicester talk in the topic, but it's absurd that they're in another final. I mean this in a good way, but it's ridiculous.
So it's good because they will be meeting one of those very offensive teams, Real Madrid, who, after not scoring away, actually no one scored in the first leg with Manchester City and Madrid. Fernando got an own goal in the 20th minute to send Madrid through for another all-Spanish final and a repeat of 2 years ago.
And just to throw some shade, Real Madrid had the easiest... I mean, City is probably their toughest thing. They had the easiest route to the final, and they beat their toughest opposition by an own goal. Own goal at home. Ugh, but whatever. I mean, it is what it is. Whatever. It's not their fault that they got easy teams.
So, predictions for the final?
Real...
I mean, I know everybody's going to go that way. Atletico Madrid was 30 seconds away from winning that. I mean, granted, in extra time it changed, but they were 30 seconds away from winning last time. I think they'll keep their composure, and Real Madrid is not as good as they were back then. I really don't think they are. So I'm going Atletico. I mean, no matter what, I'm going to be rooting for Atletico.
Do you think it makes a difference that it's one off instead of over two legs?
I would think...
Or whose advantage do you think that is?
Maybe Atletico, because it's really hard to defend for 180 minutes, maybe easier for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
Honestly, it really depends which Real Madrid shows up. They've had a lot of momentum recently because for a good portion of the year, they were so up and down. They'd have some crazy 6-0 game, and then they would score nothing and look really, really poor. So I don't know which Real Madrid is going to show up, but it's crazy because they clearly know each other. They've, for what it's worth, Atletico Madrid, I believe, has beaten them in every meeting beaten or drawn. Although, who knows? I mean, we beat Atletico Madrid every single time this year, except for once, which made the difference. So we'll see. I'm still rooting for Atletico.
So we'll take a quick look at Europa League, who had its first semifinal. Second one is tomorrow as of this recording, so we don't have the finalists yet. But Villarreal played against Liverpool. A 92nd goal puts them one goal up.
Yeah. So...
Another Spanish team, which is significant because on the other side, Shakhtar Donetsk played against Sevilla, ended 2-2, but that's two away goals for Sevilla.
Yeah, which is crazy
with Sevilla Villarreal.
Yeah, so that means Spanish teams.
Even if Villarreal and Sevilla lose, like, you cannot say the same BS where you're saying, oh, the Spanish league is easy. There's a clear point where Barcelona and Real Madrid and Atletico Madrid are just better than the other teams. But honestly, if all these teams are consistently winning in European knockout championships or knockout tournaments, it shows that there are clearly a lot of good Spanish teams. And I have to throw that extra bit of shade. I really love the Leicester story, but do you think they could win any other league? Do you think they could currently beat Barcelona, Munich, Juventus, PSG?
Yeah, but you would have said the same thing about the league in England this year.
That's what I'm saying. Could Leicester? That's what I'm saying. Wait, what?
I mean, no one said that if they were going to win the league this year.
Oh, you're right. You're right. But my point is that, I'm just sick of this every year. How I do get how it's a 3-horse race. You're right. I don't think any other team is going to catch the top three. And Atletico Madrid has made it a 3-horse race. But you can't act like there aren't.
Yeah,
other
but the
great
thing
teams.
Is, you only play each team twice. So if you just get like a draw from like two of those games, and you just beat every other team or draw most of your games.
Same thing. You're assuming that every
all right, you love Spain.
Garbage.
You love Spain.
Oh,
that's
God.
Fine.
Here we go.
I'm more defending Spain. I'm not saying they're the
Spain's
best ever.
Yeah.
I'm just saying they're better than people.
Clearly, Spain is very, very good right now.
It'll be really crazy, though. And I had the one other thing is apparently only Spanish teams have knocked out other Spanish teams.
That's pretty crazy.
I'm not going to lie. That's absurd. I didn't expect that. Like, I think Villarreal is a good team. They're in fourth. I didn't think they'd do as well as they do, especially because I didn't think Liverpool was going to knock out Dortmund. I don't know if we talked about that, but Dortmund was, I think, the clear favorite at the beginning to win the Europa League. They were clearly the team that should have been in Champs League, but because of that weird
England's
season.
England's deepest league in the world.
I mean, so it could potentially...
They're
no,
what, like
so
eighth
we
place
say,
team just knocked out Dortmund?
So Liverpool could be in the finals and they could win. They have a good support and it was a crazy game. It was Dortmund was up 2-0 and Liverpool ended up coming back and I think 4-3, which I mean whatever you want to say about both teams, I mean, that's a ridiculous win. That's the kind of win, even though it's your Europa League, that's one you remember. So yeah. I think that's a huge achievement for Liverpool. Honestly, 1-0, that's not insurmountable by any means. The only advantage is that Villarreal, if they get a single away goal, that'll be huge. They're in the same position that Atletico Madrid was. Right. So we'll see what happens.
All right.
But that'll do it for the first half. We will catch you after the break.
Kiss the Crest is part of the Commentist Network, which is a collection of great podcasts covering a wide range of topics, from tech news to music to Dungeons and Dragons to veganism and positive living. For more information about Kiss the Crest or to check out our other great shows, go to thecommentist.com.
Welcome back to the second half. So we're going to get straight into our topic of the day, which is Leicester's title win the greatest achievement in sporting history? Which I know, when you first hear that, it sounds absolutely ridiculous. It sounds to say that, but when you really think about it, so we have to mention the odds for Leicester to win. So, okay, yeah. Let's start even further back. Last year.
Yep.
They were in the relegation battle.
Yep.
They barely got out of the drop zone.
I think
zone.
They had they won 7 of the last 9 games to just to get them out of the drop zone.
So they barely got out of the relegation zone.
Yep.
Then they still had, quote, poor players. No one that was terribly interesting.
Got rid of the coach.
They got rid of the coach, and they got Claudio Ranieri, who was
never won a title in his life.
Never, even at all the big clubs he'd coached. Yeah. And he was basically pushed out of the Greece head coaching job because he hadn't done well.
Did horrible.
They lost out, what, the Faroe Islands or something like that. Yeah. So nobody thought this coach would do anything. None of the players. I mean, some of these players were playing in fifth division football not that many years ago. Was it Vardy?
Vardy was in fourth, I think. Yeah, something like that.
Oh, so much better. And it's these players, I mean, nobody thought they could do anything. They were 5,000-1 to win the title. Yeah. And honestly, they probably got those odds because literally every team technically has the ability to win the title. Aston Villa probably had some. Aston Villa, I don't know what it was, but it was probably higher.
I'm sure every team was higher, yeah.
So 5,000-1, the odds of doing that is significantly higher than, I mean, I don't know what goes in that. We were trying, before the start of this podcast, we were trying to figure out what is similar. And I think people have been trying to compare it in all of sport, and a couple of things have come up. So we'll start with football. I think the initial comparisons we can think of, Greece winning the Euros in 2004. That was a pretty big deal because Greece is not that big of a footballing nation in terms of that. I think that's a huge achievement.
Yep.
Porto winning Champions League. I actually forgot what year it was, but that's what started Mourinho's.
Early 2000s, I think.
Let's see, league winner. That's what started Mourinho's career. 2004. Yeah. Oh, wow. So both Greece and Porto were the same year. So those were pretty incredible wins, but both are knockout competitions.
Right.
Mourinho, we've found out that he was an excellent coach. So still, it's an incredible achievement, but Porto had to beat Monaco in the final. So a little unusual. And I don't know who Greece beat, but they were still tournaments. The thing that makes this difference is that they had to do it over the entire season.
Yeah.
And every single week, people thought, when I first heard Leicester was in first, I like laughed. I'm like, oh, you know, that's what happens. Like, I think at that point, Celta de Vigo was in first or something like that in Spain.
They started well. They had a few wins right off the bat, a couple of big results. They got killed by Arsenal 5-2, or like, I think, 6 or 7 games in. That's
so
when you were like, okay,
they
slipped down to, I think, 6 was their lowest, 5th or 6th place, one point. And then it took them, you know, a few weeks to get back. And then I think it was them and City up top, like, you know, a few points away from each other for a while, like up closer. And then once you move closer to January is when they started pulling ahead.
Yeah. And I mean, the whole season you were still thinking, look, at first you thought City was primed to win. I mean, okay, at first we thought
Southampton did this a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. Where
they came up
really
and then
high.
They did, like, they went on a ridiculous run in the beginning of the season.
And then they just didn't lose. And, I mean, honestly, you just thought Arsenal was going to take it. They finally thought this was their year for the title. Yep. They didn't. Sorry, Gunner fans. This is what always happens.
And this is also the year that Chelsea started.
Yeah, Chelsea.
The worst in their history, right?
That, I mean, the only reason why we're not talking about Chelsea is because Leicester won the title. Yeah. So Chelsea had this ridiculous season. And, you know, you thought somebody, one of the Manchester clubs, somebody was going to take it from them. Tottenham did extremely well. And, honestly, they fought till near the end, so they did. But, I mean... this achievement is insane.
Well, it's funny because I don't even think we really talked about Tottenham up until like
a few weeks ago
because it was all Arsenal.
Yeah. I mean, this was, if there was any year Arsenal would win the title, this was the year. But whatever. I don't want to talk about Arsenal. Yeah. This is about Leicester. Like, you talk about their players, and clearly there was a lot of talent in this team that nobody really recognized.
Yeah.
Mahrez being the clear one. I would say
Conte definitely the one. Vardy, so I want to point out, so Ranieri brought on Steve Walsh, who was basically the head scout and one of the assistant coaches now, and it was Walsh who really pushed for Conte to get signed. But the only comparison I could think of, and obviously I wasn't around for this, but was Nottingham Forest back in the late 70s, early 80s, when Brian Clough and Peter Taylor. Peter Taylor was the scout that Brian Clough had on, and the assistant coach who brought on a lot of the big talent that helped them win the division then and went on to win Champs League, or the equivalent of it back then. So it's not... it's not impossible.
But I think the big difference right now is there's never been this money in football, this much money in football. And right now, the difference between the clubs of them spent over the summer, Manchester United had big buys, City had big buys. I mean, you think about at the beginning of the season, remember Sterling was the biggest buy.
Yeah.
Liverpool bought Firmino. United bought a bunch of players. And I mean, I guess the biggest was Martial. They all spent money, and it's never been this... imbalanced in terms of the big teams having this much money, and Leicester clearly had no money. It's something like, I forgot, like their whole wage bill is the
same. It's like 11 million or something.
Yeah,
something ridiculous. It's like half of a player.
Yeah, it's absolutely nothing.
Mahrez was bought for £450,000, I think. Vardy was a little over $1 million, I want to say. So like combined, I think they were under $2 million, which is absurd considering, you know, Vardy was top scorer and, you know, Vardy also broke the record early on when he had, or I think he came close to breaking the record where he had 11 straight. He scored an 11 straight.
Yeah, he did. No, I think he did break it, right? That, and then he didn't get that much further, but whatever. He broke the record. I mean, it's absolutely insane. So the last one I would say in terms of football, and I have to give major credit, and it is Diego Simeone at Atletico Madrid. So apparently their club was in crisis before he came in. Since he came in, he won a title, and he's been in two European finals, which is really big. And I would say, in a weird way, and honest to God, not to take anything away from Leicester, I would say in terms of achievement, in terms of total quality, I think Atletico Madrid has done more, because to beat Real Madrid and Barcelona to get to a European final. But they still, I mean, once they started gaining steam, they started getting better players. And right now, they still have money. Like,
but Atletico must have had a better history. They must have won before in their past, right? Leicester's never won in 132 years of existing, right? So
clearly, there is nothing in football like this. Everybody's been struggling, grasping at straws. And this was such a cool story. I mean, at some point, everybody got behind Leicester.
Right.
And Claudio Ranieri did the thing he was supposed to do. He was the one saying, we could still lose. Arsenal are still the favorites. Tottenham are still the favorites.
I mean, like, I think up through, like, halfway through the season, he was just saying, oh, we just have to get to 40 points, so we're safe.
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly.
He talked about.
Exactly. He didn't want to be in the drop zone.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So then we move outside of football. The closest things people have been talking about are basically three sports, I don't know, occurrences. So there was Buster Douglas beating Mike Tyson, which I don't really follow boxing much, but apparently it was a 42-1, which, remember, 5,000-1 odds for Leicester, 42-1 odds for this. It was still a big deal because Mike Tyson is Mike Tyson, and to knock him out was a huge deal. Then they have, I believe it was 2008, the Giants beat the Patriots. The Patriots were undefeated in the regular season. They thought they were going to have a perfect season overall. And the Giants barely made it into the playoffs. So that was a big deal. Yeah. But it's still, it's one of those, I mean, you do well in the playoffs. It's a knockout tournament. Anything can happen.
Yeah.
And then the other one was the Miracle on Ice, which everybody remembers. What was it, 90s? well, apparently we don't completely remember it. But in hockey where the U.S. beat Russia, and it was such a big final. But all of these are still tournaments.
Yes,
and
so that's
one-offs.
The big thing. That's the big thing.
For Leicester to do it consistently,
yeah, over
week
36
after
games.
Week.
Yeah.
And every week, they and the crazy thing is, like, this was not a close title at the end. They deserve this totally. You really look at it, and they were the only team that knew how to consistently get points. They really were. And honestly, the only thing you could, the only knock on them you could say is that they got beat by Arsenal twice. But let's be honest, that second loss was almost shouldn't have happened. It was at the
I mean, they showed what championship teams do, right? And
completely.
They grinded out these wins. Like, I think before this last couple games, they went, I think, 4 in a row winning 1-0, something like that.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
And they were not against the better teams either. Like, they were some of the lower teams that they played against where they were just grinding out wins. Like, Okazaki had that goal. I think Mara scored in 2 different ones. Huth had that header.
And this was after they had lost to Arsenal, which right. There were questions of, okay, is this the point where, okay, now Arsenal's got the momentum. They're going to win the title.
Yeah.
And Leicester's going to fall away. But they didn't every single week. And they were so consistent. And I think you and I had been talking consistently where we're like, okay, I'm glad they're winning. They need to get these 1-0 victories. But it's kind of scary that this is the margin of victory, because if they keep drawing, who knows? But right now, the gap is 7 points. They clinched the title with 7-point difference. Like, it's crazy. I'm not a sports expert, but hearing from other people, I'm willing to say this is the greatest achievement in sports.
Oh, absolutely.
It's crazy.
Absolutely.
It was fixed.
Oh, God, no.
So
what happens if, like, somehow something comes out saying, like, the refs, like, fix it?
The reason why I know it's not that is because nobody gave a shit about Leicester before this. If they're going to fix it, they're going to fix it for Chelsea, Arsenal,
what
Tottenham.
What if they find out, like, somebody on each team put a lot of money down on Leicester winning or something?
Why would anyone put money on Leicester?
Plus, Sean, it's not likely to happen.
Oh, yeah, okay,
but
if that comes out, then obviously it's completely tainted. That changes everything. But then again, one of the greatest moments in football history is a handball by Diego Maradona. Yeah. So we were also trying to think before the start, what are, like, the worst teams to win something or the biggest comebacks? I mean, we're struggling. We said those two. We also said Napoli, although granted they had one of the greatest players of all time, but Napoli as a team weren't very good.
I mean,
so you could say them.
Mali was against Algeria, came back from like 4-0 down in the last 16 minutes.
We have to say Turkey, Milan losing, that was a huge final.
Milan losing to Liverpool, being up 2-0.
Yeah, like, and they were clearly the better team. Yeah. But still, all these are either knockout tournaments, one game. I mean, come on. This team, at least Liverpool is Liverpool. Napoli had...
And I said this earlier, like, you know, you look at a photograph of this team and you couldn't name one player on their roster at the beginning of the season, and now you literally know every single player who's on that team.
It's
you got to give so much credit to Ranieri, right? Like, so he went out and him and his assistants, they picked the exact right players that they needed for his vision of this team, right? They did really well with conditioning. He did really well with deflecting the media. Obviously he kept his team relatively low amount of injuries throughout the year.
Yeah.
Morale was always up. I know when there was all these stories have come out about his coaching tactics now. But they were saying, like, I think it was after the Arsenal loss, or maybe it was against Liverpool when they lost, Drew. But basically he gave the team a week off and was just like, clear your heads. Like, you know, don't think about football. And, you know, they came back and they won the next, like, 4 straight games or something like that.
And a lot of people have talked about how they played simple football. Like, Craig Burley on ESPN has been railing about this. So one thing, as the game gets bigger and more complex, people like Pep Guardiola, who have these crazy formations. Right. It'll be like a 3-5-1 or something like that. And they talk about all these players that have to play out the back, which is incredibly dangerous. Like, you think about Neuer, how many mistakes he made. Well, I mean, he's one of the best goalkeepers in the world, but you see situations where he has to play at the back because that's how they play, how we play. Barcelona, we always play from the back. We won't just kick it forward. On Leicester, they have 2 big center backs. They're probably not very good with the ball, but they know how to clear the ball. Yep. They know how to head it out. They know how to play together. Schmeichel played well, too. I think he had a really good season. Saves over the year. They play simple football. It's basically 4-4-2. Get it up to Vardy, you know.
But it's almost the same 4-4-2 every week.
Yeah,
I mean, you look at, I think
it really
there was, the stat I saw was like, I think 7 or 8 of the players had started like 28 games of the season or something like that. And you knew every single time, like, all right, right, Mahrez is going out, Ochoa's coming in.
Yeah, exactly. You knew exactly. You know, you can plan for it. You know what to do. Yeah. And all these tactical masterminds. I mean, even like Mourinho's big on tactics, although this year was kind of crazy. You think of all these teams that had time to figure it out. And
that's what's crazy. Like, they literally had the same game plan week in, week out, and no one could break them down.
It's ridiculous. But I think, I don't know, Dave, what do you think? So I think Rob and I are kind of agreeing it could be the... I'm still being a little tentative because I don't like having a definitive, but I mean, I don't see anything else that's close in terms of sporting achievement.
Yeah, no, I mean, right now, considering they were almost relegated last year, to go to win the league, I think it's obviously the best turnaround.
And they had no money
in any sport, and like all these other things we're talking about are like one game things, or like a boxing fight. It's one fight,
yeah, right?
It's one fight. If you were sick that day, right, or exactly, like something could happen. I mean, this was the whole season. As much as I don't, for some reason though, dude, I don't know why. And Rob, obviously, you guys probably
you don't
both,
like the underdog
for some reason. I mean, I don't mind the underdog, but like when I'm talking underdog, I'm thinking of like Arsenal, like Spurs, not Leicester City. Like
the true
for some
underdog.
Reason, like it's just gonna like for Champs League, it's gonna screw over England.
You
for
say
Champs
that,
League.
But I don't.
It's taking a spot away from Man U if they don't get in.
But you know what? Whose fault is that? Is that Leicester's fault or is that
no,
the Manchester clubs?
Fault.
Is that Arsenal's fault? Liverpool's fault?
It's just because everyone's playing.
They
really
spend
bad.
Millions
yeah.
of pounds and they can't win.
But
so it's not their fault that they're the best team in England.
No, I know.
Right now,
and,
so
you know, I don't know.
They should have done.
Like, you look at their stats.
Honestly, I would have been happier, and this is going to sound ridiculous, but I would have been happier if like Spurs won.
I'm sure you would. But you know what? The other thing, though, you
you're
find
also
out
just
of
a
this,
hater, man.
Yeah, you are.
I'm a Leicester hater. Yeah.
I think the other thing you find though, there is real talent in the team. Mahrez is probably going to get bought by somebody. Conte too. These are
yeah,
two
right.
players that are
I mean,
genuinely
if somebody comes
good.
Around
like
and
they could
a lot
be
of
stars.
Money at him, I think they're going to want to go. I mean, as
no, I agree. But my point is, they are actual stars. It's not just all luck. Like I do think yeah. like Huth and Morgan. I'm not sure if they're going to go to some huge club and play really well. Even Schmeichel, like a lot of these. Vardy, maybe. Although Vardy's been scoring for England, so I think that's a big deal.
Yeah.
My point being that there are really top players in this team. Like, you could, honestly, you could even look at City. How many top players really do they have? I would say Aguero. I think De Bruyne has done well. Hart and Silva. I think they have a lot of decent players, but a lot of them aren't as good as we think they are.
Right.
And a lot of other teams we would say the same thing about. And I think they have, Leicester City has at least two stars that are really like top level players.
I mean, you look at some of these stats though, it's incredible. Like Vardy had 22 goals. Mahrez has 17 goals, right? Mahrez had 11 assists, you know? You also look at just their overall team
Danny
stats,
Drinkwater's
right?
Danny Drinkwater's last name is
Drinkwater.
Like three losses all season, right? Only one loss at home. They have the most wins away out of any team, which is, you know, an achievement in and of itself. Their goal differential, which is interesting because like, you look at other leagues and they're, you know,
sky high,
like 100 goal differential.
Oh, their goal
right?
differentials, like City's it's, got a better goal differential.
They're tied with City on 30. Tottenham actually has 39. They're the only team with more. But in a league that like is this competitive though, I mean, they did exceptionally. Like it's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I can't get enough of this story. Like it's
just,
ridiculous.
I think it's crazy. I mean, I guess not really, but. Like Varas and Varas,
they had a kid.
I'm
a new superstar. Varas,
I'm going home. Varas, Vardy and Mahrez, Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy had so many like of their stats, like 22 and 18. Goals, right? Between mm-hmm. the two. And then six. Like, that's the next one. I mean, compared with the most other teams, is that how just, like...
Probably. Yeah, probably most... For Manchester United, it's probably Martial. Honestly,
yeah,
for Man City, it's probably Aguero. I don't know off the top of my head.
Without... Anyway, I don't have...
They are not
I don't have a lot of positive stuff to say.
I know
about
you
I don't,
so.
Because you're just a hater. I don't understand how you can't love this story.
They won the title. Just,
I'm a
Lester
hater, man.
Oh, all right, you look at Man United. Martial had 9. Rooney had 7.
Right, so they're
Mata
balanced.
Had 5.
They're
so they're all
but that's
because
they're not scoring.
They're yeah, but look at the goals
No
four.
One has double digits.
Hey, they probably got less goals allowed.
Oh, my God.
You're just stretching at this point. Nice. So let's
Rob
see City.
Brought up
so,
the stats.
Okay, look
they
at
They only
City.
Had 3 more goals allowed, Leicester.
Look at Manchester
hey,
City.
Man U's in 5th, all right? Come on.
Aguero has 23 goals. I don't think you can even guess who's second highest for City.
I bet I can.
Who?
Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's not who you think it is. I'll give you that hint.
Wait a minute.
Hart?
Close.
Just guess.
Give me a second here.
Oh, my God, Dave. Seriously? You've got 5 seconds. Five.
Four.
Four.
Sterling.
No. You just said it's not who
Iheanacho. He has 7.
Yeah. Oh.
And Sterling has 6. De Bruyne has 6. And Torres has 6.
Close.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever. This is an excellent team.
Team sucks. It's fixed. Oh God, it's rigged. They're going
to
be in like...
You have to be literally the only non-Arsenal Spurs person that didn't want them to win in the entire world.
Like you said, you think of underdogs like Arsenal.
Yeah.
Like, who just
this is what you get from Yankee Man United fans.
Yeah,
oh, good.
Okay, so just wrapping it up. I mean, Leicester, this is the biggest story of the year. Maybe the biggest sporting achievement in history. They're clearly the best team in England. And Spain's the best league in the world. So that'll do it. That'll do it for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We are Kiss the Crest. You can find us on iTunes. Please rate and subscribe. And if you want, leave us a comment. See if we want us to talk about Leicester more. If we should talk about France more.
We just start a Leicester podcast.
We promise we will slow down on the Leicester talk since they already won the league.
No, we got 2 more weeks to make this.
Who knows? Maybe they could win out and increase the gap.
They're going to lose out, all right?
So we are part of thecommentist.com, so you can check us out on there. We also have some other great podcasts on there, such as The Unwind.
Roll the Hit.
Roll the Hit.
Bearded Vegans.
Just tons
Sky
of
on
great
fire.
Stuff.
Good stuff.
So we'll be here next week, and we hope you tune in again.
We did it, Sean!
We did it!
Yeah!